Our second reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5 and verses 16 to 25. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Thanks be to God.
Friends, in the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking on three Sundays at what is called the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to interrupt that little series with next week, which is what's called Father's Day by some, to think about fathers and their role in our world and our family life. But first, let's pray together for understanding of God's word. Lord, we confess that sometimes we find your word quite distant to us, and so we pray that Paul's writing to the Galatians would dovetail with our lives and help us to live as you wish, for the glory of your name. Amen. Well, last week Hugh was explaining that in the second half of Galatians, the main emphasis is that a Christian life is a life of liberty. We were in bondage under the curse, the condemnation of the law, but Christ has set us free from it. We were slaves, but we're now God's children. The question we may be asking ourselves is, how is this new life possible? Well, verses 16 to 18 of Galatians 5 tell us how it's possible. And the answer is the Holy Spirit is our sanctifier. In fact, in just a few verses, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 7 times. Let me read to you what Paul says from verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. You do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Then Paul continues, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's verses 22 and 23. And perhaps you're asking yourself, is that description of me? Not simply fruit which flows from our mind or our will. Often we look for a plan for our lives, but actually we should be looking for God's will in our lives. And actually it's hard to do that because of what Paul calls the flesh, the life of the world we live in, its culture, its philosophy, its outlook. As we saw in 1 Peter some weeks ago now, that Christians are aliens. They're people who are strangers in this world. And that's why we find it so hard. But notice verse 22. The phrase is this. The fruit of the Spirit is. It says again, the fruit of the Spirit is. And is singular and collective and not plural and separate. Now we know there are different gifts of the Spirit. That's clear from 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4 and elsewhere. But fruit, mentioned here, comes as a package. There's no accident that the third person of the Trinity is called the Holy Spirit. He's the one who imparts the holiness of God to us. He does this as he develops in us a Christ-like character, a character marked out by the fruit of the Spirit. The holiness is both God's gift and his command. The holiness is God-taught, Spirit-wrought Christ-likeness. It begins when we're born again. The nine fruit mentioned under the singular fruit are clusters. The first three are about our attitude first to God. They are linked to the other ones. The next three are outward, and the next three after that are inward. We're looking at the godly ones today. And I want to give you the biblical scaffolding around love, joy, and peace. First, love. Men and women's natural love is centered on himself or herself. When he or she finds something attractive, he or she loves it and wants it. But supernatural love has quite a different emphasis. It has the ability to love the unlovely, to love the unattractive. We see this quality in the way God loved us, because he loved us while we're still his enemies. And this can be reflected in our lives because of the new birth. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Think about that great Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Or the Apostle John writing in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That great verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, we love because he first loved us. Think of Jesus in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. New command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. A new command, a commandment I give you. It's that and not a suggestion or an option. And it's new because it springs from a new covenant, because of God's supernatural work in us. It's not possible by human achievement. This love, which Paul speaks about here, is God-taught, Spirit-wrought, Christ-likeness. It begins when we're born again. Let's move on to joy. The word joy occurs 60 times in the New Testament. The word rejoice comes 72 times in the New Testament. C.S. Lewis, who was miles away from God for years of his life, when Christ was discovered by him, he wrote his biography, called it Surprise by Joy. He once said in another place, joy is the serious business of heaven. Why is this? It's because just as love is part of God's character, so joy is a characteristic of God himself. The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ at creation, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30, says this, then I was a craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. In Zephaniah, that minor prophet, chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will visit you with his love. He'll quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Think about that great Christmas reading from Luke chapter 2. The message comes to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Joy is the essence of being a Christian. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 22, with you, now is your time of grief. But I'll see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. I think about that wonderful story in the book of Acts about the Ethiopian eunuch who was on that road from Jerusalem to Gaza. When he heard the Bible explained, the Old Testament prophecies, we're told there that he went on his way rejoicing. He found the joy of the gospel. Think of Jesus in John 16, verse 21. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. When her baby is born, she forgets her anguish because of her joy. The child is born into the world. And joy is a backdrop to the Christian life. Even Job experienced joy because he knew about God's faithfulness. Well, think of Jesus who went to the cross, Hebrews chapter 12, went there for the joy set before him, enduring the cross. I think of being at a graveside. We're told, don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. And again at Christian funerals, I see the underlying joy people have in the Lord. Joy is God-taught, Spirit-wrought Christ-likeness. We're born again. Just as God in creation was full of joy and Christ was, so we can be as well, reflecting his character. And joy is the buoyancy he gives us in all the circumstances of life. Tim Keller is a very well-known American church leader and a great Bible teacher. And the news has come this week that he's got pancreatic cancer. He wrote a few years ago this, the joy of the Lord happens inside the sorrows. I wonder, do you know that aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, the joy inside us amidst the troubles? I come third to that peace. There's an old Chinese proverb which says, he who is not at peace with heaven cannot be at peace with himself. Therefore, will never be at peace with his neighbour. Actually, the special peace of the Bible can only be found when we have peace with God. So in spite of the fact that the consequences of a fall vastly reduce the chance of men and women ever finding peace, the secret of true tranquility can be found in Christ Jesus. is a 3rd century Christian who wrote to a friend like this. He writes, "It's a bad world, Donatus, an incredibly bad world, but I've discovered in the midst of it the quiet and holy people who've learned a great secret. They've found a great joy, which is 1,000 times better than any of the pleasures of our simple life. They're despised and persecuted, but they care not. They're masters of their souls. They've overcome the world. These people, Donatus, are Christians, and I am one of them." The quiet people in a bad world are those who've accepted Christ. New birth means that man's guilt is removed. His restlessness has gone, and the reason is innate fear and loneliness are removed. The natives have been born again and found that joy which is given by the Holy Spirit. Yes, God wrought it through His Spirit in our lives. So I think about Jesus, John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." Peace of God, friend, is preceded by peace with God. So Paul can write at the end of Romans chapter 15, verse 3, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. You may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Peace. We often read at the 8 o'clock communion here at St. Mary's these words that Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is rest or peace for our souls. It's a God-taught, Spirit-wrought Christ-likeness when we're born again. Wonderful aspects. First, Godward aspects to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. They're related to the others, but actually that's where we begin. And may we know those more and more deeply in our own lives. Let's pray. Lord, work in us by your Spirit. Deepen our love. Deepen our joy. Deepen our peace, we pray, the glory of your name. Amen.